We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hadley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your CarX man. He is our man from Bears Radio, Mr. Tom Thayer. Good morning, Tom. What a sad, sad morning it is.
Oh, you can't understate that, or overstate or understate, whatever. Yeah, pretty disappointed sitting here today.
And you know, there's so many reasons for it, but I guess, you know, it really begins and ends with talk of turnovers. You know, this is a team that has a very limited margin, and I, you know, as bad as the defense was, they did commit three penalties on third down, so they couldn't get off the field. But I thought they played okay. It, you know, 22 points is not great, but it's manageable considering they were out there so long and how many opportunities, the terrible turnovers. My God, I don't know if anyone can win with a, you know, minus three turnover differential, but boy, 2 and 5 plays help.
Right, I mean, but it's a combination of both. You know, you look at first drives for both the offense and the defense, where, you know, the Bears should be off the field defensively on the first drive after three plays. But, you know, then Danny Trevathan jumps to the outside of the tight end, then he makes his inside route, he reaches out with his left hand and grabs the midsection. It's an easy call. Boom, they're off the field. And now they're punting and getting good field position for the Bears on the offensive side of the ball. But then the offensive gets the you know, they hold them to three, and then the offensive gets the ball. And when you look at the play and the interception that was made, Adam Shaheen is sitting out in the flat wide open with nobody covering him. It's an easy throw, and he has room to run with the ball. So it's those mistakes within the first two series on each side of the ball is, you know, it's hard to overcome. And then you have more mistakes on top of that with the Cohen decision on the punt return and, you know, a couple more third down penalties defensively and turnovers and interceptions on the offensive side of the ball. That's just the Bears. You know, if they have to play a perfect game in order to stay competitive at this level. And until they do play a perfect game, it's going to be difficult for these guys to win a game. And then you try to obtain perfection offensively speaking, and then you have interchangeable offensive linemen and a couple of them really playing out of position. Tom Compton wasn't brought here to be the starting left guard. He is brought here to be the swing tackle. And then you have Cody Whitehair making position changes because eventually you lose Josh Sitton and, you know, you have to bring in Bradley Sewell. So you put him at left guard and Cody moves over to right. And then the specifics of the blocking assignments, they're challenged because you don't have 1,000 reps of Cody working at right guard with Hronis Grasu or Bradley Sewell at left guard working with Charles Leno Jr. and Hronis Grasu at center. And it's just that the timing issue and just all the mistakes that are created because it's a depth challenge when you bring in so many different guys during the course of the game. And then Nick Kwiatkowski has the communication device in his helmet. He gets hurt, and then it goes to Danny Trevathan, who missed all the training camp, and then he's playing alongside Christian Jones and Jonathan Anderson, who has just moved up from the practice squad. It's crazy just the events that took place in that game that was so challenging to the Bears. And I'm not making excuses because everybody that has an opportunity better be prepared to play as if they were starting the game.
You know what, Tom? The sad state of affairs is that last week people wanted to line up the double-deck buses and, you know, start loading them up for Michigan Avenue because they hung in there and had a chance to win a game, which they didn't win. So here you go, and then they have this embarrassment yesterday, and we've seen too many of these types of games like we saw yesterday in the last 3 years. But that's where the bar is set now. It's, you know, oh, they gave a good effort, and they could have, should have, but they didn't. You know, when you start looking big picture, the fans want to see Mitch Trubisky today. Wanted to see him in the second half of yesterday's game. And you can make the case that the Bears are going to do the right, you know, what they believe the right thing is, and wait till he's ready and the team's ready. You know, who has the better argument right now?
You know, the fans are always going to clamor for the next hot quarterback that's waiting in the wings, and that happens to be Mitchell Trubisky, and he left a good feeling with the end of the way he played in the preseason, outside of what they made him do in the Cleveland game. You know, to me, there's an evaluation that the coaches are privy to that none of us are, and that's evaluating the ability for Mitchell Trubisky to dissect the information that's offered to him game plan to game plan when you kind of test him out in the classroom and everything. If he's there making mistakes in the classroom, then you can't put him on the field because teams are going to overwhelm him. They're going to either cause injury to other players, late throws, you know, possibly holding onto the ball too long and expose him. But the minute that I, as a coach, felt that he was ready to go in there and compete, then I do start thinking about when am I going to get him the opportunity. And to me, against the Pittsburgh Steelers and then 4 days later against the Green Bay Packers may not be the perfect timing for him. But if you think of from the Thursday to the following Monday to the Minnesota Vikings, if I could get an extra practice in there or some type of, you know, fabricated drive where, you know, he was going to have to tell me all the answers specifically according to the offensive play you have called and the defenses you expect to see, then it gives you a different process of evaluation. But, you know, it really, the coaches would have to answer that honestly, because You just can't put an unprepared quarterback out on the field at this point in the season, because the defenses are starting to pick up some momentum because they've had a couple games under their belt. But, you know, I'm with you that there's got to be aggressive decisions made to make sure that you're putting the best team out there. And, you know, that's a good decision that they're going to eventually have to make.
Tom, the guard position has been, as you said, absolutely, you know, an avalanche of injuries. And we saw Sitton go out, and, you know, I don't know how serious that is. They said a rib injury. Obviously, you see Hronis Grassou come in, and you move Cody Whitehair. Then you got to move him again because of when you moved him when Compton came in, and then when Sitton goes out, you got to move him again. How, do you take that into account? Like, where you are? It seems like they've been hit really hard at the guard position in particular. And, you know, that was supposed to be their strength, the interior of the offensive line.
Well, they thought it was going to be the strength if it was Cody Whitehair at center sitting at right guard and Kyle Long mm-hmm. at left guard. But, you know, now do they have to speed up the process with Kyle Long to see if he is actually has the confidence and the ability to be ready to get some game action? That's an evaluation they have to make in practice. But, you know, Kyle's a young football player, and if he's less than 100% confident in his ability to go out there and be an athlete, then I don't want to play him yet either. So, you know, the backups that they had going into the seven active offensive linemen, the two backups are really tackles. And I mentioned Compton playing, starting at tackle, and then Bradley Sewell happened to come in and play guard. It's just positions they're not familiar with, and the techniques are, there's differences between an offensive tackle and offensive guard. So the best case scenario with the Bears is never have, you know, not have any injury issues, so you could stay with the same lineup for a significant period of time. But when you have guys dropping out at such a rapid rate, either inside linebacker or offensive guard, it's going to screw up everything, because the offensive line has to fit together, and they have to have just repetitive reps with each other to have complete understanding how to make some adjustments in the course of the game. And you can see Tampa Bay taking advantage of guys they know. They don't have knowledge of what exactly they're supposed to do. Now, if you have a linebacker that shifts over from a foot to 3 feet, now it creates total chaos. And we saw it happen with tackles for loss and just some missed blocks on the interior that, you know, limit Jordan Howard's success. And, you know, and then they chase Tariq Cohen down from behind.
All righty, Tom. We will let you go. It's just not a happy time, and hopefully
not at all.
They get
hey,
something
I'm
together.
Guys, you know, I'm a Bears fan first.
I know.
And, you know, happy. You know, and do the broadcast. But you know, when you sit out there and you want the best for your team, you know, we're all in the same boat. That's for sure.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate your time as always. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Biggs Time.
Our visit with Tom brought to us by Ford. Tune in every Monday for Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, brought to you by your local Ford stores.
Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Brad Biggs joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your Car X man. He is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program and a dear personal friend. Big Z.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, that was really, really ugly, and that was shades of, you know, longtime ugly. That was not one that will sit well with anyone. And believe me, we're getting so many calls for Trubisky. It's almost unbelievable. I don't know that anybody wants to take a moment and think it through a little.
Well, that's what I'm getting on 95% of you know, my Twitter is people wanting him to see him play immediately. Listen, people want to wrap their arms around hope for the Chicago Bears. They want to believe that it's better and it's going to be better right away. What we saw yesterday in Tampa was a team that was outclassed and really every phase. Buccaneers have a superior roster across the board, and the Bears had self-inflicted wounds. You add it up, it's a non-competitive football game, another blowout loss for them, which we've seen far too many of in the last 5 years or so, and now they've got to lick their wounds with the 2-0 Steelers coming to Soldier Field on Sunday.
Great line in your column, Big Z. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Bears want to be on offensively, but I do know they lack the personnel to be a lot of things on offense. And you just said it. You know, the Bucs had a better roster. 80-90%, unfortunately, if you had to pick a number, have a better roster than the Bears, and that's before the injuries. So that's the sad part. You know, yesterday, I think most Bears fans believe, or in their heart of hearts, that team is closer, that performance is closer to what this team really is than the false positive you got hanging around with the Falcons in week one.
Yeah, or the false positives you got in preseason when some people who watch the team think that they're destined for big things. You know, you've been around the National Football League enough, you know that nothing you see in preseason is necessarily going to translate to the regular season, and that's what's got to be really, really just frustrating for them. And like you said, the injuries have piled up. I don't know what in the world their identity is in terms of offensive football right now. And you wonder where they're headed. Can they get better? Yes. Will they get better? I believe so. I guess one thing I'd say to people that are on the ledge, and based on my Twitter account, a lot of folks are on the edge right now, is who expected them to be something different than 0-2 right now? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's where I think most people pegged him when the season kicked off, right?
He's Brad Biggs, and this segment with Biggsy brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. Yeah, I think that's what people kind of knew going in, but I think that, you know, here's the problem for me. As much as everyone wants Trubisky, who's the starters on the offensive line? Where is Cody Whitehair playing? You got the tackles. Who are the guards? How bad is Josh Sitton? I mean, how bad were the injuries, period?
Well, who's the running back? What's the
That's
situation
what I mean.
With Jordan Howard?
Right.
And, you know, can they get some hand replacement surgery for some of these wide receivers, right? You know, they're dropping the ball left and right.
Oh, it's
so they've
awful.
Got some issues to sort out.
Did they not see those guys drop the ball last year? Because why are they still here?
Yeah, I had a GM from another team. We were having a conversation. It was last December, I believe. It was after one of those games when Bellamy had just a whole bunch of drop passes, and that's describing one or two games from a year ago. And he said, you know, if that guy's on our roster, we've got to cut him immediately because you can't accept that. You can't have that and allow a guy to keep his job. And the guy fully understood how good he was on special teams. He said, when a guy performs that poorly, you have to cut bait. You have to send a message. And, Jess Bellamy wasn't on special teams yesterday because he was starting a wide receiver. And, they've had injuries kind of add up there. And
so why is the standard different here? Why is the standard different here?
I don't know. I mean, they obviously place a very high priority on his special teams ability, but he's playing wide receiver yesterday and not special teams. They had Trey McBride up playing special teams in his place. His special teams was okay, with the exception of Tariq Cohen making a terrible, terrible decision, one that should never be made, resulting in a turnover. And that was after they had kind of weathered that first interception from Glennon. Remember,
right.
Glennon gets picked off, and they're able to force a punt real quickly from the Bucs. So you're like, okay, they responded. They came together here, and then, boom, you give it right back. It's on the 13-yard line, and the next play is a touchdown, guys.
We talked to Olin earlier, Brad, again, that play, in grammar school, everyone yells poison, you don't go near the ball. Everybody knows that. It's been going on forever. Olin said something to the effect of, if the kid has a game like he had, and a guy like me comes along and writes about what a playmaker he is. In other words, that kid is reading his own press clippings and believes he is the lone playmaker and he's got to go do something. Is there an element of that to making that kind of decision? And what are the consequences? Shouldn't they take him off punt return? He was right back out there.
Yeah, who do you put out there? And the first thing that comes with punt return, in my mind, the thing I've always been told is, his ball security, and that's the ability to catch the football. And he's been able to do that. It's just the decision-making. And you see a lot of these young guys make erratic decisions, and that's why special teams guys are hesitant to go with young returners at times. And, it's got to be a lesson for him. I mean, they've got to sit down and talk about it and explain it. Maybe you roll some tape of plays and just show them, hey, cannot be done. And he owned it after the game. But, the other issue is there was 1 week of tape out there on Tariq Cohen, and a completely different result for him in terms of performance. The other thing, you didn't have defensive players slipping on the Soldier Field turf.
Oh, boy. Help.
All right, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, the fine Tribune football man. And let's get to Joe with a scoreboard update.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Akeem Hicks joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for full weather? See your car X man. Good morning, Akeem. How you holding up?
Morning, gentlemen.
How you feeling? Are you all right?
Yeah, man, I'll be all right. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, that was, I got to say, that was kind of a scary moment to see you down on the ground. You don't spend much time on the ground. And also just knowing just the toll that an afternoon like that takes on you. I mean, it was really hot there and very humid. And, I'm surprised you guys are on the field forever. I mean, that is difficult to go through. Someone told me one time that extreme temperatures, be it hot or cold, kind of affects you the same way. It really just it really dogs your body.
Oh, man, that was a regular Sunday on the beach for me, man.
Hey, Akeem, emotionally, mentally, a team like this, you were put in bad situations early in that game and – had short fields to defend and all that. But when you come off the feel good, a lot of people were feeling good about the almost win against the Falcons. But when you have those errors early on and you get buried early like that, is the team trying to figure out who you guys are? Are you guys, was there a false sense of we're better than people thought we were last week? And now, people are going to say, well, you're no damn good after this effort. How do you keep an even keel when you have the effort 1 week that contrasts with the effort of yesterday?
Oh, look at you. You wanted to jump right in there, huh, Chief? No, but honestly, I still have the same amount of confidence in our defense and our offense and our team as a whole. I still have the same amount of confidence as I did the week before. What I will say is this: you turn the ball over that many times in the first half, you're not going to have too many options. Something that our defensive coordinator preaches is just the percentages of what turnovers do in a game and the likelihood of you winning that game after the turnovers have occurred or the turnovers that you make. And, the chances of you winning the game after you've gotten to three turnovers is pretty low. So you have like a 15 or 20% chance of winning that game. And that's like an actual statistic in the NFL, you know, over the past years or whatever. And I feel this way, you know, whether we're put in bad situations or not, our job is to keep them out of the end zone. And we didn't do that enough yesterday. So
how difficult is it when you're up against it in the way you were in terms of the turnovers? I mean, the key moment in the game, or one of the key moments, you had a huge third down stop after a turnover. I think it was on like the 47. They're forced to punt, and then you have the Tarik Cohen play where I don't know what he was doing, but he said the ball was bleeding backward and he wanted to figure out a way to stop it. I don't know. I really don't know how you're supposed to respond to that. I know the idea is not let them in, but they score a touchdown, and now you're chasing the game.
Yeah, you're put in that situation, and you make a play to get off the field, and that's the way it goes. I really wish there was some type of formula to say, oh man, this is what we got to do, and that's how we're gonna fix that. But a football game can take some wild turns, and that wasn't anticipated, but. You know what our job is, man. Get your butt up, get off the bench, and go back out there and try to stop them again. You know what I mean? And that's the mentality you got to take to every series. You know, whether you got what you want out there, whether you're on the 1 yard line or not. You know, I've seen the NFL where there's been four down stops on the four downs of getting stopped on the 1 yard line. You know what I mean? So you just got to knuckle up and take your circumstances and run with it. There's a quote that I really like, and I hope I don't butcher it. The guy says that, you get knocked down, but you get back up because the ground is no place for a champion, you know? And so you take a lot of hits and you get put in bad situations, but you really just got to knuckle up and say, hey, this is my circumstance and this is what I'm going to do with it. Watch me work.
This segment with Akeem Hicks brought to us by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays right here on Score, brought to you by your local Ford stores. And taking hits, the offensive line has really taken a lot of hits with injuries. And you guys, going up against those guys in practice, Akeem, this was not the group in the respective positions that everyone envisioned going down to Bourbonnais. You know, Kyle was going to move over to the left side and Josh Sitton was going to be over on the right side and Cody Whitehair was going to be installed in the middle there and everything was going to be good to go. How long will that take to get up and running once these guys are healthy, assuming they are going to get healthy?
Oh, man. I can't tell you that. I really don't know. To be honest with you, it's one of those shoots. That's a tough question, man. I thought this was a morning show. You're supposed to.
Right. We're not a morning zoo. Yeah.
I guess the bigger question is
how big an issue is it for any team when your offensive line is being patchworked because of injuries?
Yeah, it's an issue. You got to take that lump. The guys are going to work hard to get back on the field, and if they, if it's prolonged, then that's the circumstance. If it's not, you're going to suit the next guy up and tell him to go kick some butt and block for Mike. That's the reality of it. You take your bumps and bruises. You saw me face down on the field yesterday. I take my bumps and bruises too, and I'm 330 pounds. So it's just it's just the way it goes.
Akeem, we talk about the turnovers and they put you in a bad position, but you guys had three third down penalties, which keeps the team on the field, and that's been described as kind of like a turnover. You have a chance to get off the field and you don't. That's got to be cleaned up, I'm sure. What were your thoughts on that?
Fox talked about it yesterday, and he said that exact same thing. And, I played football for a long time, and I never thought of it that way. But I really see his point. I really see that. If you're getting ready to get off the field, your defense has been out there, first down, played well. Say you're, two and second down and six. Your defense plays another snap. Now you're third down and four. and you're geared up to get off the field. Everything's going right. You got a good rush from the quarterback, and you got a good coverage, and there's a penalty, whether you hop off sides or whether, you know, there's a pass interference, that bites you, and they get to stay on the field for another down. And so essentially, yeah, it's similar. But man, what do you do? What do you do? Do you quit? No, you gotta get up. Hey, come on, be a champion, man. Get up. Let's go play again.
You know, Olin Krutz said he had heard that Leonard Floyd had a back issue that, he ended up leaving the game with. If that's the case, is it the case? And two, is it going to be something he has to deal with? We know he's had a number of issues with concussions and other injuries, but obviously with a young talent like that, you want to see him out there. And, you know, if you don't have him, then next guy up, I get it. But that would be a big loss to the defense.
I think one thing that we found out is that I don't know a dang thing about anybody's injuries. I have no clue. What I'll say is this. Floyd, he's ready to play. He played yesterday. I don't know how many snaps he got, but I know this. The kid's explosive, and I look forward to continuing to be that type of athlete.
I personally believe that your defense is significantly better than your offense. I don't think that's reaching at all. And I thought it was pretty cool that you limited them just to 22 points, given, you know, they had one interception return for a touchdown. Now, I'm sure that the goal is whatever, 17 or under. But when you look at your defense and your offense, do you feel like you guys set the tone and you got to get it done? And would it benefit to kind of run the ball more or maybe give you guys a playoff? I don't know. I mean, it just seems like you're out there a lot and it's tough.
No, I love you guys, but I'm not going to sit up here and let you bash my offense, all right?
All right.
What I will say is this. I will say that defense sets the tone. I don't care what team you're on, whether you're playing for the top team in the NFL or the worst team in the NFL. Your defense sets the tone. And however your defense plays, especially in your front seven, they really set the tone for your whole team, and they get the energy up and they get people going, and they know that, you know, you can have confidence that your team is going to get the ball in their hands and have a chance to score. Our offense is taking some bumps and bruises this past Sunday. And, I'm sure that they have the right mentality coming into this week and are going to say, you know what, there's some things that we can do better. Just like defensively, we can say that there's some things we need to do better. But I'm especially sure that they're going to go in the books and make something better happen for us this coming weekend.
Akeem, you're a stand-up guy. We appreciate your time as always. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all be good.
Okay, now that is Akeem Hicks, and, you know, he faces the music. It's pretty good. That's not fun to have to deal with those.
And now
questions.
He's got to deal with Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh offense.
312-644-6767. Molly and Haley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Haley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Yeah, it's difficult to try to find the silver lining with the Bears these days. There is silver lining with the Cubs, though, and it's fun to the Cubs have a day off. They just had a sweep of the Cardinals, which is always good. It always warms your heart. I know Mr. Hanley, and you feel good about where they're at. The Bears, I don't know what they can do. I mean, I think they got to go back to playing defense. And they, as I said to Akeem, the defense wasn't a problem. I'm getting off the field was a problem. And Danny Trevathan in particular had a couple of dumb penalties, but they did okay for themselves, all things considered. The problem is that the offense can't do it. And what's the signature? What do they do? What do they do well? And how do they get better? I mean, going to Trubisky is going to cure the offensive line. It's going to cure the wide receivers. I mean, Glennon was terrible. But he had no playing time with those receivers, right? Those weren't the guys that he was throwing to. There was no timing in what they were doing. But you can't throw some of those passes.
Right. You can't throw those passes. And look, I know in football you can't say we're rebuilding or tanking, whatever. You know, when you hear Theo Epstein talk about...
Do you think they're tanking?
No, but they're in a rebuild. I mean, you know...
But that wasn't... They didn't go down there trying to lose.
No, and that's the problem. They're not good enough to win. When you look at the roster, they're just not good enough to win. They have no margin of error.
Right.
So I don't know if someone actually articulated a plan and said, this is going to take 3 or 4 years like Theo did with the Cubs. It doesn't mean it's easier to stomach at times because you want to see good baseball, football, whatever you sit down to watch or go out to the game, you want to see an effort. You want to see some semblance of the sport as you know it. and not what you saw yesterday, where you're out to the game in 10 minutes, the game's over. You know 10 points is insurmountable for that offense.
The strength of this was supposed to be the interior of the offensive line.
What a mess that is.
Never materialized. We'll find out moving forward how bad Josh Sitton is. Who actually is going to start?
I mean, Tom Compton
line.
Went out with a hip. I mean, the guy who's.
Oh, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
No.
Meanwhile, you had an injury to Kwiatkowski.
Yep.
The same injury happened to the guy he's replacing. Does that mean he's out for the year too?
I mean, it's a pec injury.
And if that's the case, what happened to the strength of the defense being the front seven? I mean, I'm just saying this is really scary, ugly moments in the Bears season, and we're two games into it.
And the schedule says it's not getting any easier, by the way.
So let's go to the rookie, right? At least it's different. Different over better or different over best for.
If not
different.
Now, when?
Well, I think Tom Thayer said it.
Year.
It's the Minnesota game. It gives you a week and a half to prepare. It's at home, and that Minnesota team, of all the teams you have looked for in the next half dozen, that is maybe the easiest of not so slim pickings.
Thanks for calling, texting, emailing. Most of all, thanks a ton for listening. We certainly appreciate you listening.
Have a great day, everyone. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, live at 5. Please join us.
Mully and Haley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.